EU leaders are drawing their summit in Brussels to a close today in the knowledge that they have secured an agreement for changes to the bloc's main treaty to help shore up Europe's defenses against any new financial crises. They endorsed tougher budget rules, including sanctions on states that do not keep deficits and debt in check. But Germany failed to win widespread support for demands to suspend the voting rights of member states which breach the rules. We spoke to the director of the Rome-based Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty, Kishore Jayabalan, about the agreement.
I actually think the measures, to me, the idea of creating a permanent bailout fund, which is what the European Union leaders have decided to do yesterday, to me, it's comical, because what you have is a situation where the European Union is supposed to operate on a no bailout clause. This is the only reason why the richer countries like Germany and France agreed to a monetary union in the first place, was to make sure it was a currency union and not a debt union. But what you're doing with a permanent bailout fund is creating a debt union, in fact. And it goes against, you know, the current European rules are that there is no bailout for any countries. And they broke those rules to bail out Greece. Now you're in a situation where it's going to be a permanent fact that you're going to have bailouts for any country that breaks its bank and that is threatened with bankruptcy. So it's pretty much making a mockery of the whole idea of a European Union in the first place. That's my first point. The second point is the issue of bailing out countries which have proven to be delinquent on their debts should be borne by the creditors, right? The people who have invested in those countries should bear the price of making a risky investment rather than having a bailout in the first place. And I think this is what the Germans understand better than other European countries, primarily because the Germans themselves have been against the bailouts because they feel like it's rewarding irresponsible behavior by countries like Greece. And this really gets to the heart of responsibility. And if we want to encourage responsibility among political leaders, we have to hold them accountable for their decisions, whether they have good or bad results. You can't just simply say, you know, we're going to ignore the bad results and just let you go on as if nothing has changed.
Kishore, I mean, we've seen countries bailing out the banks. You were talking about creditors there as well. I mean, if countries decide to do this and if they get themselves into this situation, is it up to the EU? I mean, surely if one country goes down, are they not afraid that other countries will go down? Therefore, is it best not to help them out, as it were?
Well, I mean, what they did in the case of Greece and what they're trying to do also in the case of other countries, the pigs countries, right, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, and Spain, is to make sure that they don't declare bankruptcy, right? This is the big issue. And it's one thing to say that we need to have banks functioning to provide credit and capital. It's another thing entirely to say we have to hold up an entire government's lack of discipline in economic matters. I think, you know, you can make distinctions between the types of bailouts if you have to in emergency situations. But again, to create a permanent bailout fund, which is what the European Union is deciding to do, is going to simply encourage countries to spend much more than they have. I mean, I don't think there's any other way of interpreting the idea of a permanent bailout fund. Now, if you want to make the case that, you know, we should just simply take up the debt of other countries, you know, that's a different matter entirely. But I think, you know, what you're now moving from a currency union into a debt union.
I mean, looking at the Lisbon Treaty, and as you're saying, the current treaty contains a clause banning members from bailing each other out. And many people are worried about this because the treaty took so long to enact in the first place.
Yeah, it seems to me like the entire way the European Union is working on a legal level is one where only one result is possible. I mean, they're saying that, you know, things have to go a certain way. So a no bailout clause might exist in law, but really we're going to have bailouts. A country might say no on a referendum to, you know, joining the European Union, but that doesn't count until you say yes. And, you know, all of this seems to be geared to achieve certain results that certain leaders in Brussels think that Europeans should simply follow because it's been decided by the leaders in Brussels. And this really is not, you know, democracy in any kind of real sense. If only one result is allowed, why even have the choice, you know, if it's not going to be a serious discussion and a debate? And I think what the problem with the treaty and all the financial crisis, the problem is that the Germans, I think quite sensibly, said, well, why can't we simply find ways of fining or punishing states that have been irresponsible fiscally? And the reason why they didn't want to fine countries is that it's going to make their financial situation worse. So the Germans proposed, why don't we restrict their voting rights or some kind of sanction to encourage countries not to be financially irresponsible? And of course, the smaller countries say no to that, and that would have required a change to the treaty, and would have required all 27 countries to vote on this. And this is what, again, the leaders in Brussels want to avoid. They want to avoid people being able to say no to their plans.
With regard to UK Prime Minister David Cameron, he won backing for a rise in the EU budget. What would you say about that?
Well, I mean, I think David Cameron should be applauded for trying to bring some budget discipline to the European Union. And, of course, the European Parliament is going to want to spend more than 2.9%. They'd rather have the 5% increases. But, again, to be able to instill some kind of fiscal discipline is the challenge. And Cameron and I think 10 other leaders agreed to that. And 2.9% is not a decline in spending. It's just a smaller increase than was originally planned. And this somehow counts as a budget cut, right, under kind of budgetary rules. And a 2.9% increase is not the end of the world for anyone, really. And the fact that it's proving to be so difficult to even do that shows that the situation of finances within the European Union is a very worrying one for anybody who's looking at the future. And another point I think to remember is that austerity is not enough. It's one thing to be able to say, yes, we need to cut our budgets and maintain some fiscal discipline. But again, the key to economic progress, and which means progress for all of the peoples of Europe, is to have economic growth. And if austerity can lead to economic growth, that's fine. But austerity is not a good in and of itself.
It's still starkly obvious, though, isn't it, that Germany, France, and sometimes the UK really hold the cards. They certainly have the power in all this.
Well, they do. I mean, not only are they the most populous nations, they're also the richest nations. And they're the ones who are being asked to bail out the countries that have been irresponsible. And I think this is the real challenge. And this is why I think from the beginning the Germans have always been very suspicious of a currency union dressed up as such, when it's really a debt union, when it's countries that want to spend and, spend lavishly on political benefits and on, nice wages for the parliamentarians and their staffs and things, when they're not, this is simply not the way to run a modern country. And I think, in this case, I think the Germans have it right. I think, if you're concerned about economic growth and you're concerned about financial discipline and responsibility, I think, in principle, the Germans are correct. Now, whether they can get their changes through politically, when all the 26 other countries have to agree, is going to be a big challenge. Because people might say they want discipline for others, but very few people want discipline for themselves, because it means getting less of what you want.
Finally, would you be surprised if anything else comes out of this summit?
No, I think the idea of agreeing to the need for a permanent bailout fund is a major change. I mean, because you're contradicting a no bailout clause. So I think that was probably the principal objective of this summit. Now, whether they'll find ways of establishing some kind of punitive measures is the challenge. And I would say that that's probably very unlikely. So I think this might be it.